I
Make
have
sure we bet to
the
that
show
one.
is on the show is on Threads.
Well, there we go. We're ahead of the curve. Get in on it since it released today.
No,
do it, before,
it was yesterday, but
yeah,
I was in the first 10 million.
There you
I
go.
I'm like, because if you go to your Instagram account, it tells you what number you were.
Yeah.
So hold on, I'm curious now. I'm gonna see what number the show came in at. Did the show clock in under the first 10 million? Welcome to the show, everybody, where we're talking about dumb stuff.
Before Twitter sues they're suing Threads now. So it's now Elon versus Zuckerberg. This cage match is going to happen. I totally want to see this now. I want to see a pay-per-view.
How do I switch? Oh, there it is. You know what they don't do well, though, is
it's now Elon versus Zuckerberg.
They don't let you switch accounts easily on the Threads yet.
Yeah, that's a work in progress.
All right, hold on. Here we go. Really? Where the hell is it on here? Profile. Go to profile. Actually, it doesn't tell me on here. It just says that we're on Threads.
Okay.
But if I look on my mobile, I bet it would.
Yeah. Mobile, it's easier.
Yeah.
Looking it up on your computer is different.
You guys like Threads better than, what was it, Blue Sky?
Or Twitter.
Yeah. I'm assuming nobody likes Twitter, right?
You know what? I don't mind Twitter, but I'm not like a big Twitter fan, but it's okay.
I enjoy Twitter for updates for like scores for like sports and stuff.
Right.
Or to find out if someone has passed away. You seem to get those seem to pop up real quick on Twitter.
Yeah. Well, for a long time it was like where news people got their news.
Yeah.
But then it just started to become like a giant garbage chute.
Yeah. So. Well, it's a slight certain population has engrossed that.
Yeah.
But you know.
Okay. Yeah, I never really liked Twitter even before Elon Musk took it over, but I mean, he was definitely running it into the ground.
Oh yeah.
And it's weird, like, I don't know, there's just something about Twitter, like, it, like, the people are there are like so quick to get into fights, like,
oh yeah,
way more, like, even people that I know on both Facebook and Twitter, like, I don't know, it's like something, like, they'll be more like more antagonistic on Twitter than on Facebook, which I don't,
it's just the toxic.
Well, I mean, Twitter just has like zero filter. And that was kind of the point. It was supposed to be a, for the most part, zero filter thing, minus like hate speech, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, now it's...
Now it's hate speech included.
I don't know if it's really hate speech included. It's more like...
When's the last time we were on Twitter?
Oh, I was on Twitter today.
Okay.
But it's more become like just like a, it's almost like OnlyFans for free now, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's like the, we're not going to show you the super spicy stuff, but we're going to show you enough stuff to get you riled up and follow people, right? Because there's a ton of cosplay, there's a ton of other stuff, you know, but
you came up here.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. Jesus, my phone keeps blowing up because people are joining my threads.
There you go. Yeah, to be honest with you, I never liked the fact that like Twitter was like completely uncensored, because like quite frankly, if it's like 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I don't need to be like scrolling through my social media and seeing some chick's butthole. You know what I mean?
Hey. It's 2 o'clock for you, but it could be, you know, 10 o'clock for somebody else.
Fair enough.
I mean, also, what the hell are you kind of algorithms do you have that you're seeing chicks' buttholes?
I mean, I'm not saying that that's an everyday occurrence. I'm saying every once in a while.
Okay, okay. Good thing we had this conversation now before your wife got on.
The cat's giving you side eye.
No, the crazy thing is I had this exact same conversation with my wife earlier. So.
Oh, really? That's funny. Yeah. Actually, I thought I saw her driving around today, like over, because you guys don't live too far from me. And I thought I saw her like coming up over Capitol. And I was like, is that Ange?
Which one's Capitol?
We went
out to lunch today.
It's the cobblestone road that the bottom of it's Fiori's. And it goes up.
We might have been up there that way. We went out to lunch today.
This would have been at like, I don't know, like close to 6.
Oh, okay. Then that probably wasn't us, but
okay. Well, if you drive a black if she drives a black SUV, maybe she was just cruising around. Going over to the park, hawking comic books at the park. More park.
She stole some guy's black SUV, I don't know.
Oh, is she Nick Furying?
Right.
In the Pittsburgh, you know.
Right?
She's the Pittsburgh version of Nick Fury.
Oh.
Now, when she gets on, she has to wear the eye patch.
Speaking of Nick Fury, reminder, we're having that the Jim Steranko signing up in Cranberry in August. Tickets are still available. What's that?
That's cool.
Yeah, August 5th at Cranberry. It's $40 to get your ticket. That just gets you in the door, gets you entered to win a comic book that he'll sign. And it's $65 a signature after that. Like,
wow.
Yeah, but there's no limit on how many things you can bring. It's going to be $65 per item. So, like, if you bring, like, 5 books, you're going to pay $325 to get them signed.
Right.
Yeah. So, but Jim's real cool about it. Like, you know,
Did he approve of your poster this time around?
So, like, I got real close on it, and he's just like, I'm just going to finish touch it. And he just, like, changed some colors and changed the font on one thing. But other than that, it was good. So,
okay.
It's like it's been.
I know we had that debate. We were talking about that earlier.
Yeah. I mean, but that's, I get it though. I mean, you know, it's his art, it's his thing. You know, like if he wants to approve it, hell yeah, I don't care. He should because, what's that?
Are you talking about like a Facebook post or are you talking about like.
No, like the poster that we use to promote it, like all the art we use for it. Like we were making a poster and I was sending it to him to get approved because, you know, he wants to make sure that, you know, anything with his name on it gets approved. And that's totally cool. But my problem was my laptop had just died. So I was trying to do it on my iPad with a program I had never used before. And I'm like, I can't even get extra fonts into this program to get the font that he wants. And I was like, this is as close as I can get it. And he is like, all right, it's like 90% there. I'm just going to tweak a couple things. He sent it back to me. It was awesome. Super easy. So yeah, it wasn't that bad. I probably made mountains out of molehills over it, but it was, you know, the thing I liked is the fact that he actually proofread it though, because 9 times out of 10, I send something to Todd to get proofread and it's wrong. Like, well, a lot of things, but it worked out anyway. So, anyway, we are here today to talk to Grant about his Kickstarter. You got about a week left, right?
Right.
And then if there's time after that, we're going to talk about some new release books. You can chime in on that too. So, let's see here. I have it up. Let's share the screen.
I should mention my wife is going to be here later because she has a story in this anthology.
Oh yeah. I mean, we could talk about comics first and then talk about your stuff when she gets there if you'd rather do it that way.
Yeah, we can do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Stop sharing the screen.
Okay.
Well, then, all right. We're only gonna do two each so it's not super crazy. So I'm gonna go first with Doctor Who Doomsday. This follows Doom, who is an actual character. That's Doom. And this is like a 12th Doctor Missy story by Jodie Houser. And it follows Doom as she goes through, and she's like, Doom's like kind of a weird bounty hunter type person who travels through time. And Missy is following her, but Missy is telling everybody that she's Doctor Who. And it gets to the point where old school Doctor, like goatee Doctor right there, is in prison, and the Master moves that one to a, like, moves the whole cell to move him so that Doomsday can't kill that version of her to be, so that she'll not exist, I guess. Like, it's real crazy. It's a lot of fun. It is very 12th Doctor storyline, like, vibe. I really enjoyed it. And the 12th Doctor hasn't even showed up yet. It's a lot of fun, though. So go check this out if you're into Doctor Who, if you need that little bit of Doctor Who from not having anything for, like, 2 years, like me. You know, it's gonna be it's gonna be good. Although, like, I loved Whitaker's farewell episode. It was the bomb. I still send people the Rasmutan dance, like, because it was that good. But I definitely recommend people check this book out. It was very, very well done. So. Okay, your turn.
All right.
I know that was a quick one. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's fine. Usually you're, you know, when you get out of Doctor Who, it's a long thing.
Nah.
You are a very Doctor Who fan.
I am a Whovian, yes. I mean, like, if you don't know who Missy is, Missy is the female version of the Master that came out in the 12th Doctor's, the Peter Capaldi era. And it's just, like, there was a moment where he tried to get her to be a good guy, basically. But I just find it funny that in this book, she's, like, literally walking around telling people that she's Doctor Who. Like, that's how she's introducing herself. But she does it in a way where she's, like somebody be like, like, Doomsday was like, that's not even Doctor Who. Like, how do you even know? He didn't check ID or anything. And the prison guy's like, yeah, how do I know that you're actually that? And she's just like, because I announce it every time I walk in the room. I am the Doctor. I'm like, oh my God, that's so hilarious. But they wrote it to, like, just nail, what's her name? Gomez? Something Gomez. She was on Sabrina too. She played Madam Satan on Sabrina. I can't remember her name. But anyway, she is phenomenal as Missy, the Master, which is the version, like, the evil version of Doctor Who, basically. Okay. It's great. Like, I just rewatched the 12th Doctor's era not too long ago, and, like, every episode she's in, just hilarious and nails it. So
okay. Can I ask you a question before?
Sure.
Move on. So, for somebody who's never watched any Doctor Who, what's a good jumping on point?
So there's probably three or four. Depends on how far you want to go back, right? I mean, you can go back and just try to watch old stuff, like, and try to figure it out. I would either start with, like, for me, where I started was the 95 movie, the Fox movie, but you're going to not be able to stream that anywhere, but it's a really good jumping on point if you can find it. So I would either start with, like, the reboot episode one with Chris Eccleston. That pretty much within the first two episodes, you'll kind of get a vibe of what the show is about. But that season didn't really pick it up till, like, close to the end of the season. So then you could also start, just skip over Eccleston completely and start with David Tennant, But then you're going to want to go back and watch a couple Eccleston episodes so that you get some of the references in the Tennant era. There's not a lot. but he is my favorite of the reboot Doctors. He is amazing. Another excellent place to do that is the 50th anniversary from 2013, where it's David Tennant and Matt Smith. And it's and John Hurt as the War Doctor shows up. It's the only time we actually get John Hurt as it, but you get to see the Time War, you get to see all this cool shit, and you're just gonna be like, I just have to absorb it all, because if I don't, like, you can just kind of take it in and then be like, okay, if I found any of this interesting, I'll just go back and start at the reboot, because it, that's in like, oh man, 20, that's like 6 or 7 seasons in is when that episode airs. Yeah. So, cause it rebooted in 2007, and then that was in 2013. So it's like 6 years. So,
yeah. I mean, I've never sat down and watched Doctor Who, mainly just cause it's like 40 years, or it's like 40 or 50 years.
It's 60 this year, actually.
It's like kind of intimidating. I mean, I guess you could say the same thing about Star Trek, but.
Or, I mean, it's the same thing with comic books. Like, where do you start with Spider-Man, right? Where do you start with Batman? You just pick a spot and go. I mean, if you at least understand that he's a Time Lord, when he dies, he regenerates. He's going to have a companion, and his time machine / spaceship looks like a blue phone box from the 60s. You pretty much got it. And to just know that the Master is like his big bad, or their big bad, because there's now a woman Doctor, which happened with Jodie Whittaker. She had 3 seasons. They were very good. The last season was very, very good. And her farewell was probably the second best farewell we had of all the Doctors of the newer age. So, oh, okay. But yeah, damn it, Justin, you were right.
Yes, but no, you can't blame John for that. That was my fault.
Well, I'll do a quickie here.
Okay.
Hey-o. I'm going to get on nostalgic a little bit. Gargoyles number 7. I'm really enjoying this Gargoyles Dynamite run. It starts with, I think this is like the first time Damona's actually been in the series. So you see her, she's in her human form driving driving to her mansion and whatnot. And of course, they show her transformation into panels from human into gargoyle. It was kind of interesting because she has all her Damona jewelry, her little crown and shit that she wears. She has it like on a shelf, and you see the human, like the armband is kind of like half in a half, like compared to her human, like it's well done. I really enjoyed it. But she turns into her normal gargoyle self. Then she casts some spells, and she's keeping an eye on what's going on in the current timeline of gargoyles, which is Goliath's in jail. He's meeting his attorney for the first time. And it's very, as you would expect, he's talking with his lawyer, and it's a lot of civil rights, a lot of current events kind of into play here a little bit. A lot of the, you know, touching on, you know, well, you're not human. He's like, but I'm a living being and with intelligence. And, you know, and the lawyer's like, well, that's not the way people see you. And he's like, well, I'll make them see, you know, it's going to be interesting the further we go. And if this, like when the trial of Goliath happens, it should be quite interesting and impactful. While this is happening, Brooklyn and Lexington are fighting some droids from the crime family has put them on. If you guys remember from the Draco family, crime family from the Gargoyles back in the day in the cartoon, the Gargoyles are still fighting against them. They were fighting against, was it Glasses? The African-American dude with glasses, because, you know, we couldn't think of a better nickname.
You're not wrong.
Yeah. But they're sitting there, they're fighting these droids, and they destroy them, and Glasses gets away. And then she's also like keeping an eye on other things throughout the current where Gargoyles has started since then. Damona then does this, like the end of the book is showing some flashbacks of she's like the Archmage Odin, the Phoenix Gate. So she's trying to figure out how she's going to get the three big magical items that you are introduced to in the animated series while they're bringing it in the canon into the comic books. And she's planning something because it's Damona and she always has something planned. It's a very set up book, but it's very well done. The art is very well done. I got one of the variant covers where she's very stoic, almost very Art Ross, but it's not Art Ross. It's not Alex Ross. But I have that in my box right now. So I thought it was, it's a good setup book. I can't wait to see how far this series goes and how long it will go. So
yeah, I mean, that's awesome. I loved Gargoyles when I was a kid. I haven't sat down and rewatched them in a while.
Yeah, the book pretty much same. Just picks up where the comic book, like the original comic book series from the 90s there, pretty much picks up off the point. So you're not losing time. So you're not going to be like, well, I don't know what happened. What's this? What's that? This kind of is very like, well, we're just picking up where it left off and we're just going to take it from here. And I think one of the writers who wrote the cartoon is helping write this book. So you can't do better than that when you got one of the guys who came up with the concept originally and now he's doing this comic book. So and it's only number 7. So if you want to catch up, it's really easy to catch up from this point.
That's awesome. All right. My second book is Captain Marvel, Dark Tempest, numero uno. So this is the new Captain Marvel run. The old one just ended. So this is Ann Nocenti. There we go. I could speak, I swear. The art in this book, with Paolo Villanelli, is phenomenal. Like, this is some of the most killer art I've seen in a Marvel book in a long time. It's like two stories going on. One is Captain Marvel. She starts off in Massachusetts, back home at a bar, and like saves some fisherman's boat because she's from like the Boston area. And it's really funny because at one point she's kind of like speaking in a Boston accent. It's just really funny. And then she goes off to check out in this phenomenon in deep space, and she's running the Avengers, all while Nitro, who is basically a human bomb, is approached by a mysterious hooded lady who has connections to that weird thing in space. There's this awesome part where she has to speak at this teen center, and so this one guy is like, hey, check it out. I built this robot. It can do all these things for you. It can learn for you. It can like go to school for you. You don't have to do anything. It can work for you and blah, blah, blah. And like the teen's like, why would I want to do that? Like, you know, and it's like the world's going to shit anyway. Like, why are we even doing anything? But then they bring in like a journalist and they rip the journalist apart. And then Carol finally gets up there and she's just like, they're yelling at her like, now what, another lecture, Little Miss Top Gun, Chuck Yeager, Captain Kirk wannabe? Like, they're yelling that kind of crap at her. And she's just like, I will not be beaten by a bunch of teens. I know a few things about authoritarianism. And she talks about like going to boot camp and how they like got her into shape where she realized that she needed to be part of the world versus letting everybody be, you know, kind of shitty about it. Like it's just very well done. Like kind of like being like, stop your whining, young kid. And like go out and do something with your life. And then they all get sucked into, to this void at the end, which is the Dark Tempest. Apparently we're going to get her to fight Nitro in it. But this was really good. And oh shit, I'm giving both my books this week 2 eggs scrambled with pepper jack, chopped green peppers, and a cup of black coffee. So
wow, you're getting really specific. I was gonna say I will give them...
I still haven't had an oatmeal book yet, so
no
cold oatmeal, no nothing in it. Cold
actually
oatmeal.
Like one of the 4 books I read probably could have went under that kind of thing.
Oh yeah, which one was that?
The X-Men one was kind of blah, but it still had a purpose.
Okay.
And it was kind of like a love story with Mr. Sinister and his wife, which actually is kind of interesting because we all kind of like love the background of that. But
Mr. Sinister has a wife.
He had one like when he was still human before Apocalypse.
Does his wife like have like the white skin and like?
No. Well, you find out like his wife is the mother, whatever. Like they're all clones of the original, is what like you're finding out. But it's kind of like I see they're trying to clean up the whole mess with the whole X-Men thing, and I appreciate it. But sometimes you could probably leave things out and not put it to print. But this was kind of like I would recommend this, like all the before the X stuff. If you get the graphic novel of it, you're probably better off. Like, cause they'll put it in a collection and then that'll be fine on that way. As far as like getting it on the individuals, I don't know if I would or not. But the book that I'm going to do here is the Thor annual number 1 for the current Thor run. First of all, I love the Hellfire Gala variant, which I got. It is the most majestic that I've ever seen Thor done. And it's not like an action pose. He's in a like a flowing kind of Jesus robe.
I'll pull it up while you're
doing stuff. I mean, it's beautiful. So I snagged that. That's shit. I'm normally not a huge sucker for variants, but when I see something like that, I was like, I'd rather have that book.
It's dude. Oh man.
I like it. I think it's pretty nice.
It's real good. It's real good. Hold on. Keep talking. I'm going to try to.
All right. So it starts off. Thor is traveling through Midgard. Apparently, Sif it warns him of this impending danger in Midgard, so he's traveling to Midgard. Like that is, I like that. If that's like
a sexy piece of man right there,
yeah, that is. If Chris Hemsworth comes out in that in the new Thor movie, that will sell tickets.
I'm pretty sure he's done being Thor, but yeah. Yeah, actually, all the Hellfire covers this week were really good.
Yeah, we had a lot of requests for them, so they were big, you know. But he's traveling through Midgard, and he sees this big, giant jewel structure in the middle of New York. And he's like, what the hell is this? So he comes bursting through. And there you see MODOK in this with godlike power, almost mech-like. And he calls himself Mythos instead of MODOK.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really cool like story. Like they battle, Thor kind of gets knocked back. So he kind of retreats to kind of think about what's going on, because he's noticing like the rest of the world is kind of dull and gray, and this jeweled structure is glowing and becoming more colorful, and he's trying to figure out what's going on. He runs into Peter Parker because he recognizes him, just as Peter Parker was going to get his ass kicked in the alley. But Peter doesn't recognize who this is, and he has no powers. And Thor's like, what's going on here? So he's sitting there talking to Peter Parker. He takes him to his home. He figures out that Mythos is literally sucking energy and power and has changed the entire like Midgard into his own realm.
Mm-hmm.
So he comes back, just totally obliterates Mythos once he transforms into like King Thor / Odin / whatever else powers they keep adding on to him. He just beats the crap out. He actually takes his arm, breaks his one arm off, and then beats him with his own arm. So he's kind of fun on that end.
It's awesome.
So after he defeats it, like, MODOK's like, just finish me, you know, blah, blah, blah. Because if you don't, I'm going to come back. And Thor's like, no, I'm not going to do that. But he like, you see this bright light, and like Sif is talking to him, and she's like, your father would have killed him, like, because he's such a threat to the realms. And he's like, Thor's like, that's not the way I want to do things. I guess he's kind of, he made MODOK kind of look at himself in his own mirror.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and he's like, I'm going to make sure he gets help to get better. And maybe he will change his ways. So it's kind of a help yourself ending to it.
Right.
It's a cool story. Plus, the way Mythos/MODOK looks in the book is great. I love when they do, like, they make MODOK into something other than like a bitch boy. This was
right. Kinda,
this was really good. I really enjoyed it. Also in the book, they did show some of the new Immortal Thor that's coming out.
Oh.
It's kind of cool because he dresses back into his regular Thor outfit, like with the wing cap and the whole nine yards. Nice. He has his hammer that's all cracked and everything. And he's like, Lady Sif is, well, what are you going to do? You know? And Thor's like, I think it's time to kind of get back to my roots. So he ends up taking Mjolnir and he reshapes it together. He welds it back together, so it's not cracked anymore. So it's exactly the way it was before.
That's awesome.
And I'm like, oh, that's an awesome way to start Immortal Thor. So I will definitely give this a good solid scrambled eggs. Sprinkle a little cheese on it, a little garnish on the side, you know. I'm going to give it 2 sausage patties with this.
Ooh.
Sausage patties.
Sausage
just because patties. The MODOK was so much fun, I'm giving it sausage patties.
Okay, okay.
And a glass of OJ.
Okay.
So
I was thinking, like, since MODOK was in there, you have to have something like even crazier, like it has to have like a side of like yogurt, like mixed berry yogurt. Like,
okay, I could turn the OJ into a strawberry smoothie
Okay, there you go. There you go. My honorable mention for this week is the return of Gene Simmons's Dominatrix with cover art by Jim Ballant. I'm super excited to read that.
I saw that and I was like, I thought you were going to pick that one actually.
Well, the original one was very good. I haven't read the new one yet though. So
I don't know the story with Dominatrix. Was she actually invented by Gene Simmons or?
Yeah. Like the concept was created by Gene Simmons. The original book was on Gene Simmons's comic imprint, which was Simmons Comics. And then it only went, I think, 6 issues. I think that was the only book that actually came out on that label.
Yeah, I think we have the graphic novels in our Amazon.
Yeah, I think it got reprinted. I think it got reprinted by like IDW or something, or Image or somebody. Yes. Somebody reprinted them.
Top Cow. I think
Top was Cow. Top Cow. Right? Okay, so yeah, Image. Cow. Yeah. But it was, I mean, it was okay. Like she was kind of like a superpowered dominatrix. Like she's almost like a Catwoman, but instead, but she's like a legit dominatrix as well. So like the first, I was just flipping through it real quick and like the first couple pages is like her like grinding her heel into a dude's back, and then like a mob tries to attack them, like a bunch of ninjas or mobster guys like break through the window, and I'm just like, yep, this is definitely Gene Simmons writing comic books. So
he actually writes it.
I think he's credited as story by, so I take that as like a little bit of writing at least, but or at least he went, here's my idea for this,
yeah,
and then somebody just got paid to write the book,
yeah,
right,
yeah.
So you know, like most of his songs in the last couple years, like
that's what they say, right.
I mean, come on. Everybody knows Paul Stanley has been the force behind that band since like, or the only force behind that band since like 82. Like at that point, Gene kind of checked out, like, and was like, I'm going to be a movie star. Yeah. How'd that work out?
Hey, he was in The New Guy. I liked him as the preacher in The New Guy.
That's fair. He was, do you ever see Runaway though? Like the movie that he was supposed to be his breakout role with Tom Selleck. Yeah. He plays this bad guy who's like a robot creator, and he makes all these like robot spiders, right? And like, but instead of like him running like a normal person, he's like running like he's the demon still. Like, oh my God. Hold on. Let me see if I can find a clip on YouTube. Oh, I can't. Oh, I'll find a clip and send it to you guys, because like it's not good. And I don't want to like be in the middle of it and then it'd be like, oh, you're watching like copyrighted material, we're gonna shut your feed down, thanks.
Don't mind me.
Oh, hold, okay,
like, trying to play with me while
I'm gonna just watch the trailer over here, like, and see if it's exactly that bad. I wonder, you know, if I did it with no sound, I wonder if it would trigger.
But
so far it's like, oh yep, there's the little robot spiders with like little needles on them, and Tom Selleck's like a cop who's trying to find this guy.
When doesn't Tom Selleck play a cop?
I mean, right, but he's got like
cops.
But he's got like short hair. Oh yeah, that's true. He's on like that Blue Bloods, that
blue,
or whatever.
Yeah, Blue Bloods, yeah.
Yeah.
But he's a commissioner. So he doesn't do like action stuff anymore, but right, he's still a cop.
Okay, so Gene's acting in this is, we'll say, 20% better than Phantom of the Park. Oh, Christy Alley's in this. Holy crap.
Wow.
I forgot about that. I mean, it came out in 84, so I was like 3 years
old. Oh, that's when she was like,
oh yeah, she was like big time.
Thin hottie.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, and Gene's got like the super short dome hair, like where it looks like he's like almost got like a Spanish explorer hair. Like,
you know what was what came on Netflix this week?
What?
Uncle Buck.
Really?
Yes. I started watching that. I'm like,
jeez,
good one.
Oh yeah, and then I'm looking at him like Macaulay Culkin. I'm like, wow.
My god, this is crazy.
It's like I watched it. I was like, I wonder if he knew at that age. He's like, I'm gonna be one messed up individual when I'm in my 40s.
Right? Macaulay Culkin, good lord.
But it's like everybody in that movie except the woman who played the mother went on to do major Hollywood things.
Okay. The Runaway trailer does not show Gene being as terrible as he actually is in that movie, but you should all go check it out. You really should. I'm gonna see if it's on a streaming service for anyone who actually wants to see this piece of garbage. You can watch it on Crackle.
Oh, you know it's good when it's on Crackle. Crackle and Tubi. If it's on those two, you know it's good.
You can rent it on Prime for $4.
Just watch it on Crackle.
Watch it. Find it on Crackle because it is not going to be worth it
just for this one movie.
What's that?
I have to get Crackle just for this one movie.
Absolutely. I mean, or you can spend $4.
Well, Crackle is free. Crackle is free. All you have to do is just like put your like email address in it. It's free.
Oh, okay. Well,
that and Tubi. Those are technically free.
Yeah.
You know, those are the only two that are free. Like everybody else is upcharging everything.
Right.
Like I just lost all my WWE stuff through Peacock because I don't have quote premium. I'm like,
really?
You gotta be kidding me? Yeah. Yeah, they just did it this week. And I'm like,
holy crap, dude. You're only like $237 from hitting this goal.
I know, isn't it crazy? And it's annoying me because like there was like no action today. I'm like, I just want it to fund already.
Yeah. Well, I'm a backer because I have pledged the $84 for the retail tier.
I saw that. Thank you so much.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about your Kickstarter here so we can do the big plug that we're here to do to help you out because we support local creators and you're also one of our favorite people to hang out with. So
thank you. We still need to get a beer sometime.
Absolutely. What's your phone? What's that?
Does Angie have your phone number?
I don't think so, but you guys have me on Facebook, so just hit me up that way. Like I'll tell you what, normally Mondays I'm at Moonlight Cafe on the boulevard around like 7 o'clock for wings. So like Monday, me and a buddy from high school. Yeah. Usually Mondays around 8, or I'm sorry, around 7. So like I will be there this Monday at 7 o'clock for sure. So, yeah. All right. So tell everybody, I think we did this before, but
yes,
let's do it again.
Yeah, we did it when it was like the pre-launch. Yeah, this is the official launch. This is some Memoirs of the Morbid Blue Edition. The Red Edition came out about 2 years ago. Yeah, play the trailer.
Woo! That was really loud in my ears. I'm just going to turn the sound off and I'll just let it play in the background. Go ahead, continue.
It's you can probably tell by like the style and the covers and stuff. It's kind of an homage to like Tales from the Crypt, Creepshow, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But there's five different stories. They're all self-contained. You don't have to worry about any like to be continued garbage. It's and there's also a lot of humor in it besides just the horror aspect of it. Like I would say at least 3 out of the 5 stories I would classify as like humor/horror.
Mm-hmm.
We have a bunch of really cool creators, a bunch of really cool artists. The covers all look amazing. Yeah, I'm really happy with how it turned out.
91% of its goal.
91%.
91%. That's crazy.
That sounds good, right?
Share it on Thread.
Yeah, get that shit onto Thread.
Yeah, so Angie's on Thread now. I still need to create a Thread account. But so you guys prefer Thread to Blue Sky?
I don't even know what Blue Sky is. So
Blue Sky, was that the failed one?
Possibly at this point, it might be the failed one. I guess you need an invitation to get into Blue Sky.
Yeah, you don't need to with Thread.
Interesting. So it's like old school Facebook.
Yeah, I'm not on Blue Sky yet, just because I haven't gotten an invitation. Apparently, I'm not cool enough.
Me either.
Yeah, I don't know. I never really liked Twitter, to be honest with you.
I always use it as like a last resort. Like if I'm bored, I'll finally hit that. But I get most of my stuff from like Facebook and Instagram anyway. So.
Right.
I mean, we're old, so Facebook is pretty much where we get most of our stuff. And I'm not a big fan of TikTok either, but like, I will definitely watch some TikTok. I just don't really like it that much. My wife loves it though. She will literally spend hours a day just scrolling through that thing.
That's how I get my news half the time. So
from TikTok?
Yep.
I'm gonna be honest.
There's a lot of solid new, like independent news people. They're like down the middle. They're not one way or the other. But usually you get the fair and balanced stuff from them. Of course, right. You always have the jokesters that like hate certain people. So, but that's the, again, the wonders of the internet for everybody. So.
Indeed. So, yeah, I really hope that we can get you a couple more guys to, you know, kick in, man. Like this is so, it has to be like super stressful.
Kickstarters are like one of the most stressful things in the world. Like, so this is the first time my wife is like directly involved in a Kickstarter. And she's like, oh my, she keeps saying to me like, oh my God, I don't know how you keep doing these.
Have you had other ones that have been down to the wire like this? Or is this like the,
I think the first Memoir to the Morbid was down to like the last 2 days.
Wow.
Which, yeah, I don't know if I would say that this is down to the wire yet. Like we still have 8 days and we're like 90% of the way. I mean, I have a feeling it's going to get funded like maybe tomorrow, maybe
okay, like in the
next 2 or 3 days, but yeah.
Oh, that's about awesome, my man. One shot of Kickstarter that I did. So I think I got like maybe 1% and nothing.
What did you do a Kickstarter for?
Well, before I started this and before I went to work for New Dimensions, I'd take old furniture and I'd repurpose it with like beat comic books, like stuff that's so messed up. And then I do like, I did a Spider-Man table and I did a cap chair.
Decoupage type stuff?
Yeah, decoupage stuff. Yeah. And it's like I think I did a X-Men, like, an X-Men, it was like one of the mid tables, but it had the old school open the middle of it. And each section I did like a different X-Men character. That one was my favorite one.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Do you still have any of these?
I still have the Cap one. I can actually show what it looks like. It's still sitting there.
Dun, dun, dun.
Hold on, I gotta get up and do it.
I'm wired to my head. I can't move. That's why you get this like giant 6 foot cable like I did.
Well, I have to like not do that because the cat gets a hold of it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, there you go.
Yeah, this is the last one that I did. It's the cap one.
It's very decoupage.
Yep.
I like it.
The best part is like there was like this is literally just books falling apart, like out of the dollar section.
Mm-hmm.
It's like so people who were like, oh, you're destroying comic books. These were already destroyed. So you know, this was giving them a second life.
Hey, if you want to start again, I may have a couple boxes of like water damage stuff somewhere that you could probably get real cheap. I'm just saying.
I'd be down for it, but I have to get
buy a like a boat of decoupage to put stuff together, and then the furniture.
I got enough decoupage. I just need more furniture.
No.
And well, construction junction, sir.
Construction junction. I'm sure Missy will help you out.
Well, some of that stuff, it'll work, but it won't work. You know? It just depends on how the decoupage takes hold of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I had to strip down the top of this because the IKEA stuff, like the smoothness, it would start peeling. So I'm like, okay, screw this. And I just stripped it down to the cork board and then just do it that way.
No, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. It was something I was passionate about for a while. And then I'm like, oh, I'll do a Kickstarter and see if anybody's interested. And I think two people like endorsed it, thought it was cool. I even did like Vines when Vines was still a thing.
Mm.
I find while I was doing it, and I was bullshit with people as I was doing it.
Mm.
But
so
And then like Twitter just like, yeah, screw Vines. Vines are stupid. And that kind of ended that all. So
what would like the rewards be for like the Kickstarter? Could you get like some of this furniture?
Yeah. Yeah. Or I'd deliver to you in person, something like that. Like I tried to keep it local. I didn't want to like, oh, I'm going to try to ship this to California. Yeah. I'd rather not do that.
By the way,
probably a bad thing to do for Kickstarter, to be honest.
Yeah. For those who are wondering and want to get the red edition, it's free on Kindle or $5 at Amazon. Found that at comicsburg.com. So just look for it. Super there. Just for plug all the extra stuff.
Yeah, most of my comic books are on Amazon now. Or you can also get a print copy of it through the Kickstarter. Or I think you can get a print copy at New Dimension Comics.
Absolutely. If we sell them in stock. So. But yeah, man. Like I'm excited. I love when you guys' books come out. Like it's a fun time. Like everybody gets so excited and they're all like, oh my God, I did it. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh shit, now I gotta pack up all this stuff.
Yeah. So. It can suck, but it also can be kind of relaxing, like packing packages. Yeah. It's weird.
Well, when you know like your thing, like, you know, did well, like that's kind of a cool thing. So
for sure.
Let me see if I can still find, since I already backed it, I don't know if it'll let me see the tiers again. I guess I can log out and look at it.
I was going to say it should.
All right, hold on.
Unless Kickstarter changed their stuff, their format.
Rewards, maybe.
Yeah, one of my Kickstarters that I did like during COVID just finally finished.
You mean when you back?
Yeah. Yeah. I got the D&D cards from like this place in Germany. And they just got done like and they're shipping them out finally.
Cool. So So let's see how many backers you have of each one. Because now I'm kind of curious, because I didn't realize it told you how many backers. Let's see what your most popular tier is. So we have 13 on the digital copy for $6 each. That's pretty cool. 11 on the print copy with the demon cover, which that's the demon cover, right?
Yeah.
Okay. 3 at the three strikes cover.
Yeah, I was surprised that cover didn't do better.
Well, that's because Marvin ordered it. And, you know. I'm kidding. 3 with the pumpkin cover. That's kind of cool.
That was like, cool. I like
this. Kind of reminds me of like Halloween 3, right? Like,
yeah.
That's what that reminds me of.
When you read this, it really reminds you of Halloween 3.
Well, then I'm definitely gonna buy this. You have 11 for the print copy at $9.99 with Come and See cover, which I like looks phenomenal. This this is probably my favorite cover, because it's I'm just like, what is going on here?
But did you see what it's an homage to? It's an homage to Clerks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. One movie poster.
2 on the digital catch-up tier. 3 on the hologram cover. Neat.
We actually have 2 hologram tiers just because I screwed up the shipping on it.
Hi.
Hi. Good evening.
Sorry I got in so late, but I was doing something.
So. It's all good. We're just going through the tiers and seeing which one is the most popular. So tied for first, the ketchup special.
Right. Which is good, right?
Yeah, yeah. Because that means people are checking out the old stuff too. 8 on the ketchup hologram. Like, that's, I'm not gonna lie. If I were not a retailer, that's probably the one I would have got. So, 3 on the all 5 covers, which is also cool.
Yeah.
The 0 original sketch of Ghoulmaster.
Well, yeah, I mean, we just added that a couple days ago, so.
Oh, okay. What? I can get a word balloon saying whatever I want.
Right.
Like, oh, yeah. I love the disclaimer, though. That's great. Nothing racist, sexist, homophobic, etc. So.
Exactly. You're not allowed to do like a word balloon saying I love Trump. Like,
I was going to say no politics, right? No politics. So. 0 on the sketch here, which sucks because that's pretty cool too.
Yeah.
I have a feeling that's retailer special. Zero on the retailer special. What?
And then this has already been sold. This was the original art. That's
awesome.
I probably should have charged more than $100 for that, but because it went like almost immediately. Like we put it up there, and like 5 seconds later, it was sold.
That's awesome. Yeah, I saw that post and I was like, oh man, that's really cool. And then I was like, I'll go back to that. I never got to get there. So, oh, did we do? I think we did ketchup specials.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I think we did like 3 ketchup specials. I think we did this one, but we did like multiple of them.
Oh, that's awesome.
So I think we did like 6 of them or something like that.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I mean, you guys, like whenever we put out a new comic book, you guys are always very supportive of that. And I appreciate it.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely.
I was very baffled by what was happening on the screen because I was like, Grant's not moving his hand.
Oh, you thought I was controlling the kicks. Okay.
Yeah, I was like really confused as to what was happening. But
No. That was all me. But cool.
Yeah, so if anybody's wondering why my wife is on the show, so one of the 5 stories was written by her. She's been writing since she was in high school, and I said to her, like, you know, why don't you adapt some of these like stories that you have into like comic books? Because, you know, I mean, obviously at this point I know a little something about making comic books.
What?
Just a little bit.
So yeah, so her printed story debut is going to be in Memoirs of the Morbid, the blue edition.
Yeah, I've never been published before.
Oh, that's awesome.
I don't have them all because I wrote some in high school and like they're scattered about, and I managed to like, I have some like in my Google Drive and like the notes app and stuff. So,
right. That's still cool though. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
There you go. I'm working on something else, but that's like a year down the line.
Yeah. I wasn't going to mention that because I didn't know if you wanted that to make that public or not yet, but yeah, she's working on her first like full length comic book, which
cool. will
probably be out like a year from now.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. Okay. Are you talking like, it's going to be a full length, like 6-issue mini or like a single one issue.
Okay. Yeah.
Are you going to go for like a 33 or 44 pager, or are you going to just do like 22 pages?
So we're not completely done with the script, but I think it'll probably be like around 22, 23 pages.
Oh, yeah. That's not bad.
Yeah, cool. It's just going to be a one shot.
And well, we've been talking to an artist to work on it who is freaking awesome, and it's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing that she's in our budget, so
yes.
So we got very lucky.
Yeah.
In that regard.
Awesome.
It's like a throwback comic. I was very inspired by like old vintage makeup ads. The ones that were like painted, like like watercolor, that kind of idea. Yep. I'm trying to think of an artist off the top of my head and I can't think of him.
Well, yeah, and we found the comic book artist who can kind of emulate that style, which was perfect.
So but again, that's like a year from now. So, yeah. But I'm excited about this. And I think the story that I wrote, if you work in retail, John, like you will appreciate this story a lot.
Yeah.
I think.
That's awesome. So you're saying that it looks a lot like Paulo Rivera type art. Like, hold on. Let me find some of his stuff. Because he does a lot of like that, hold on. It's almost like Alex Ross, but not that good. Like, I don't want to say not that good because it is very good, but not that,
right?
Like, insane.
Yeah, his stuff looks really cool.
Yeah.
Definitely fully
painted. Like that.
Yeah. Sort of. I mean, this comic book isn't going to be like fully painted like that.
Right.
Yeah, we're going to like, we've talked about it and it's mostly going to be in black and white.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. For one, I think it'll fit the timeline because it's going to take place in like the 1950s, 1960s, and the cost.
Yeah. Well, we found a printer who can do like spot colors.
Yeah.
Which means like you can do like black, white, and then like maybe red or like one other color, you know what I mean? Yeah. So right. we've been thinking about doing that too. And we also found a printer that does newsprint, which is always cool.
Yeah.
We haven't decided on whether or not we're gonna do that or not. But
I was gonna say you might want to go with the newsprint if you're going something old fashioned. That definitely would fit the bill.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, definitely this is, I mean, you know, I've kind of like been, I don't want to say a groupie, like helping you. So like for me to fully step into this world is very different.
That's part of the husband-wife relationship is you are the ultimate groupie. You marry them. So it counts. Because that's what my wife told me is I was the ultimate derby groupie because she was in roller derby and I ended up marrying her. So
cute.
You know, once you marry into that culture, you're like, yeah, it's fine. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm happy that she's gonna have like a comic book of her own out just because, you know, she comes to all these conventions with me and like you know, I mean, she's helping me promote my stuff, but I would like it if she had something of her own, you know, to promote.
But now you're going to have to give up table space and, like,
if she out tables you.
Well, that's a good point. I never thought of that. What was that old movie, like A Star Is Born, where it's like two singers and one of the singers start, like, their career is like really good, and then he starts to tank, and then like the other singer, like, their career gets like really, like, a lot better. I mean, I guess I said that's an older movie, but it's not really, because they remake it like every 10 years or so.
Yeah,
they just redid it with Lady Gaga and Brad, what's his name, from Bradley Guardians. Cooper. That's it, Bradley Cooper.
Yeah.
Right. So, but cool.
And I have, like, I like Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper. I have no desire to watch that movie.
I don't either. Like, and I'm a musician, and I don't give a care. Like, you know, I just am like, nope. So, and like, it's weird though, because like, you guys both got like the wives that are very in the same vein, gonna be there, gonna do everything together. My wife's like, nope, it's cool. I'll be here with the dogs. You go have fun. And I'm like, thanks. And I'm gone, like, you know, like probably 25 weekends a year. I am between cons and fraternity stuff, and then just seeing family and friends. Like, you know, I'm gone almost every other weekend. Like, there was one time where I think I was gone for 6 weekends in a row. And I was just like, do you miss me yet? She's like, nah, I'm good. Like, so
we signed up for a lot of conventions this year.
Yeah, we're not doing this next year. We signed up for like way too many conventions. I think like in June and July, it's like we're away 6 out of the 8 weeks.
Yeah.
Which is just like way too much.
Yeah,
I don't doubt that.
It's too much driving. It's too much, like, it's
costly.
It costs a lot, because I mean, let's be honest, you don't always break even at these conventions, you know.
Yeah,
it's been rough, but
I mean, it's been good because we've gotten stuff out there, but
it's been an adventure. I'll put it that way. It's
been an adventure. Yeah, I always say we should write a comic book that takes place at a comic book convention, but we keep discussing it and like we haven't really written it.
I wanted to write that book because I have two guys, the Shop Mills from my home area, and they both have nicknames, Spicy and the Bearfield. And we were going to call it like the Misadventures of Spicy and the Bearfield. And it was like going to be them at cons, like waiting in line and like having the dumb conversations that people have in line. And then like meeting one of their idols and like just like blowing it, you know, and it's, and then like running into them like in the food line and being like, oh my God, like just like the weird stuff. Like I could probably write a pretty funny one just of the random stuff, like meeting Neil Adams in the restroom, or
right.
You know, running into sitting down at Walt Simonson's table and being like, oh, I sat at a table with talent. watch what I say, like, you know, like that kind of thing. You know, or like running into Art Germ like outside of New York Comic Con, like just like out on the stoop. Like, I'm just like, Stanley Lau. You know,
well, has Grant told you guys, we were at Three Rivers Con last, was it last year?
Yeah, not this year, but like the year
last before. Okay. And I was talking to someone, I know, from some other comic book, and a gentleman came up, put his hands on my ears, and kind of stage whispered to this other guy. And then the next day we were at Grant's table, and the guy walked past, and I said, oh, that's the guy, like, grabbing me by the ears. And Grant's like, do you know who that is? And I'm like, no. He was like, that's Howard Chaykin.
Of course, like, it's Howard.
The whole time I'm like, it's Howard. It's going to be Howard Chaykin.
Yeah, Howard. So Howard Chaykin is very enamored with Angie. So like whenever Angie starts going on about like what a nice guy Howard Chaykin is, I just Google images from like that one porno comic he did back in like the 80s. And I ship this. And I'm like, this is what's going on in his mind whenever he's talking to you.
No, I mean, but I'm not fazed by it. He was actually at the convention this weekend. And apparently, like, I said, hi, Howard, how are you? And he was like, I was like, we've met a few times. And he's like, oh, okay. I'm like,
I mean, I'm sure he meets
thousands. But the funnier thing about it is apparently my son was chatting with him for a long time.
Really?
Yep.
That's awesome.
Oh my God, to be a fly in the wall.
Which show were you guys at last weekend?
Hershey.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. Cool.
So that everybody's had interactions.
Yeah. So we did Hershey this past weekend. We're doing Youngstown this upcoming weekend. And then two weekends from now, it's Buckeye Valley.
Yeah. Okay. I think I have Harrisburg that I'm doing by myself in a couple weeks. And then we have Neo Comic Con. So, and those are the only ones I'm doing. Todd's doing Gem City, which is sometime at the end of the month.
That's the week before NeoCon.
All right. Harrisburg's the same weekend as WV PopCon, because Todd's going to be at PopCon, so I'm going to Harrisburg. So
nice. So,
yeah, it'll be kind of cool. I'm going to visit some friends I haven't seen in a while I was out there, because I don't get to that side of the state a lot. So, and that's always like my fun parts of shows, like, you know, going there and just hanging out with all your friends, like your friends you only see on weekends. It's like being in a band and playing in a bunch of like local venues and just seeing everybody every weekend.
Yeah, it's awesome. Nice, because I mean, we're starting to like see the same people at conventions and like learning names and like
making friends with people. Yeah.
Which is nice.
Yeah. Well, we're looking forward to the one in Columbus, because there's a German restaurant there we really like. Ooh. And we're staying in a hotel that has a hot tub and a pool, so we're looking forward to that.
Nice.
Yeah. So Buckeye Valley is only one day, but we're going up the day before just to kind of like hang out in Columbus, because I don't know, it's weird, like you go to some of these cities and you're like, oh my God, who in their right mind would want to live here? And then there are other cities like Columbus where it's like, you know what? In another life, I could picture myself living here.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And Columbus is one of those really nice cities.
Somebody wants, this is Yoshi.
But the minute you give her attention, she's like, I'm getting out
of here. Yeah, she keeps trying to like get on me. She's, okay. I think she's around a year old. We're not real sure. She's still little.
She's still tiny.
Yeah. And she's a wild creature.
It's cool. I just have dogs over here, so. And
you saw my little buddy. He's running around.
Your little hellion.
Yes, he is. Well, that's why his middle name is Lucifer.
Right. So, that's a good name.
Well, it's Ignatius Lucifer. Is his name, because we had to get gaudy with the name.
So he be illin, is what you're saying?
Yeah.
He be illin. Sorry, that's the most rap you're gonna get out of me. All right, well, I think that wraps it up. You want to tell people again one more time where they can follow you on social medias, and then make sure they go hit up the Kickstarter.
Yeah, I'm G.W. Lankard, spelled just like in the chat. And I posted the link to my Kickstarter in the chat too. So anybody who's listening either now or in the future, feel free to click on that link.
I'm on Twitter, I'm Cozy Nomi, which is a weird, it's just like something I came up with. And I mean, my name is my name on Facebook. What is Instagram? I had to change it because it got hacked.
I saw that because I follow you on Threads, and since that was kicking through, it's like I saw that your profile actually states it in there.
But on Instagram, it's just my first name is Angie. It's A-N-G-I in P-G-H 2, T-O-O. I use Twitter more to post about like the Kickstarter and stuff. We'll see what happens with this new, you know, version, this like Facebook's version of Twitter.
Yeah, what's it called?
The Meta Twitter.
Yeah, I don't know.
So real quick. Right. So here's the conversation for today. Something to think about even. So is it, you're starting a thread, is it threading or is it just posting? That's right. What I want to know. Or is there some other thing in there that I'm missing? Like weaving. Are you weaving? Are you cross stitching? Like
embroidering.
Are you embroidering?
Sewing a thread.
Sewing. Are you needling? Wait, no, that's something I think different.
Yeah.
I don't know. But that's what I want everybody to think about tonight. While you're reading your comics at home, you're gonna stop in the middle and you're gonna be like, holy crap. What is the actual name for that? Because you know, there's tweets, there's posts, there's just posts, there's truths, which is the dumbest thing on the planet. there's snaps,
right?
What was the other one? Hive had a name for theirs, which Hive like completely shit the bed after like 3 days. So. But I think Meta.
I don't remember Hive.
I think Meta's gonna. I think Thread's gonna be around for a while because the way. Like you just follow the youth, right? It was.
Yeah.
You know, it was Facebook, and then it was we're buying Instagram and we made Instagram better, and now it's Thread. So yeah. You know, I mean
that's scary because then like. Zucker kind of has like a monopoly.
I mean, not really, because there's like people still use Snapchat, they still use Vine, they still use a bunch of other stuff.
TikTok is still pretty big too.
TikTok, yeah, yeah. I mean, China has got TikTok, so you know,
right?
We're all just gonna be screwed, but whatever. All right. Well, thanks everybody for watching and listening, and go back this Kickstarter, and we will see everybody at your local comic shop.
Thank you so much.